Welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church, and we're just so glad to have each of you with us. And actually, I do have people with me today. I invited 10 people to come, and it's just such a joy to have real live faces to look at as I preach. And I can't wait for the day for that to resume as normal. We're going to be looking in the book of Jonah today. And it's a small book. It's kind of hard to find, so I want to give you plenty of time to look for it. But we're going to be taking a little bit of a break from Mark for at least this week. Throughout the past 17 years that God has allowed me to be a pastor, he's used a variety of ways to point me toward a message. Many times, he just keeps bringing up a particular scripture passage to me over and over again. Other times, he uses circumstances in my life or in your lives to point me to a passage. And every once in a while, though, a message appears from a very unlikely source. One of our ladies posted this on social media recently. She posted, "Would whoever is supposed to go to Nineveh just go already?" And it just made me laugh when I read that. But the more I thought about it, the more I recognized that it is likely that each one of us has our own Nineveh that we have been commanded to go to. And my question for you is, are you being obedient toward that call, or are you running from it? I've said many, many times, and I'm going to say it again, I don't necessarily believe that God has sent this current trial to us because we've been disobedient. But as always, we have many scriptural references to times that God did indeed send some sort of calamity upon his people who were running away from their calling. For example, David, his sin with Bathsheba, was running away from God, and he was punished by having the son that he conceived with Bathsheba be taken away from him. Again, with David, regarding the Ark of the Covenant, he was having it returned to Israel after being captured by the Philistines for many, many years. And this is one I've always struggled with. A man by the name of Uzzah was helping to bring it back home, and it began to kind of totter, and he reached out and touched the Ark of the Covenant, and he was killed because of his disobedience. It was against the law to touch the Ark of the Covenant. Well, this comes from Isaiah chapter 13, verse 11. God speaking, "I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." And I think most of us, when we hear that, are thinking, good, he's going to punish the wicked and the terrible and the evil. But can any of us truly say that we don't fit into those categories at least part of the time? Can any of us say that we don't deserve God's punishment? There are also passages in Scripture which spell out how we are supposed to handle being punished. This comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." So you see, if God didn't love us, he wouldn't waste his time trying to guide us back onto the right path. Of course, the post that I referred to earlier on social media, it was funny. But the idea is, what are we doing that is in direct conflict with the will of God? And what if he is indeed using this current situation to get us back on the right path? There are probably very few passages of Scripture that are more familiar than today's. We're going to look at the entire first chapter of Jonah, but I'm going to focus on a few verses in the center, so the stage needs to be set. In the first three verses, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the word was this: "Go to Nineveh and cry out against it, for their wickedness has been noticed by God, And Jonah's reaction, as we all know, was to run in the opposite direction, to Tarshish. We might deny it. We might try to justify it, but almost without a doubt, many of us have taken our own little side trips to Tarshish, doing something other than what God called us to do. I want to read to you today from Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this time to gather together. And I thank you, Lord, just so much, just for the presence of my friends and my family here in this place. God, I pray that as we read through this passage and see what it is that you have to say to each one of us, that we recognize the Ninevehs that you've called us to go to, that we recognize the Tarshish that we have fled to in order to avoid doing what you've called us to do. But Lord, I pray truly that as we go through this today, we will see that even in great trials, you can teach us and lead us and change our direction. I thank you, Lord, so much for this time together, and I just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that I've thought about through this time of social distancing and face masks and not gathering together is any of this going to make a difference? And what I mean by that, not necessarily a difference in the spread of the virus, but is it going to make a difference? And the optimistic side of me, which you all know, is a very rarely used muscle. But what I think about when I'm optimistic about it is that when this is all over, people are going to realize how much they miss the fellowship and how they're going to flock to the first opportunity that we have to gather together. But the pessimistic side of me, which gets a lot of exercise, is that people are going to become so accustomed to not coming to church or to getting their church on the internet that when they are able to come back, they'll choose not to. And in the midst of this study for this particular passage, this thought also occurred to me. What if this current crisis damages Emmanuel Baptist Church, or any church for that matter, so badly that we have to close our doors? That's not going to happen, but I think about what would happen if. Would anybody notice if Emmanuel Baptist Church wasn't here? And I really pray that our absence would be keenly felt in this community, certainly in our own hearts. But is the influence of this church enough that people would even notice if we weren't here? Nineveh was an evil city, and any positive influence that they might have had was pretty minimal. But I want you to notice this. God cared enough about an evil city to desire that they be given an opportunity to change. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know why he chose Jonah, but I also don't understand why he chose me or why he chose you to do his work. But he has chosen us to do his work. And the work that Jonah was asked to do was even more difficult than maybe we realize, because Nineveh was in Assyria, which is present-day Iraq. And it's kind of always been an unpleasant place. And they were among the greatest enemies of Israel. So for Jonah, rather than be asked to go into an enemy territory, he ran away, he got on a ship, paid his fare, and he thought he could outrun the Lord. Here in this nation that I love so dearly, I wonder, have we been trying to outrun the Lord? Have we hopped on a ship to an entirely different destination than where God has asked us to go? In fact, commanded us to go? Verse 4 again. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. So it's pretty clear from this, at least this one verse, that God does indeed send trials and tribulations to those who are disobedient. But it also raises some questions. God called Jonah to do this. Weren't there hundreds, maybe even thousands of other people that he could have asked? And, you know, I think about this. In our lives, you're looking for a new pastor. And let's say that the first guy that comes to preach in view of a call, and you issue the call to him, and he says, I don't think I want to do that. He turns us down. Would we continue to pursue him, or would we go to someone else? Well, in God's case, he continued to pursue the first one that he'd called, Jonah. Now, God's not us, and I'm not saying that's what we should do, but he had chosen Jonah specifically, and he'd chosen him for a particular reason. It was Jonah that he wanted to go. So God sent a storm. And it's very important that we see this. The storm didn't affect just Jonah. His disobedience put a ship full of sailors at risk. Our disobedience affects others. In fact, in Jonah's case, it affected them more than it did him at first, as we'll see in verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid. And every man cried out to his God, small g, God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. There's so much in that verse. First of all, the mariners, the sailors, they were afraid. Now, if they had any experience at all, this is surely not their first storm. But this one was different. And as a result, it says that they cried out to their gods. They sought the usual way, the way we've always done things, to solve the problem. So they turned to what they were familiar with, and they sought help in the way that they'd always done before. But this situation demanded a path that was different than what they'd done before. Does that sound familiar to us here today? We're having to choose paths that are different than what we've done before. I've heard so many people say, I've never missed church on Easter Sunday. Never. Or the fifth Sunday that we've missed? Never done this before. And yet, I believe that we're getting through it because we're doing things differently. But these guys, they're doing everything just exactly like what they'd always done before. The ship that they were on was a cargo ship. And the reason that they were going from where they started out to Tarshish was to take that stuff, to sell it, to make money from it, and so on. And if they throw it overboard and therefore don't deliver the goods, even if they survive this storm, they've lost everything. And I look at the world today, at people who are losing so much, not being able to work, not being able to, like, cash in their annuities or whatever else it might happen to be. And in many ways, right now, we're throwing things overboard that used to have great value to us, but maybe aren't quite so important anymore. This time, right now, is different than anything I know I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I'm fairly confident for most of you. And again, many people are crying out to their small g gods, the government, the stock market, whatever else it might happen to be, doing things the way they've always done them before. And many, many millions of people, as I've already said, have thrown the cargo overboard. I want to stress this again. I'm not saying that God is sending this virus to us to punish us. But I also ask you to consider, Is there anybody hearing these words that could pretend that we are above being punished by God? If the sailors were handling things like they always had, it appears that Jonah was too. Jonah had no worries about being disobedient. He thought, I'm running away from God. He'll never find me here in the bottom of this ship. So he went down and took a nap. Can you imagine? The ship was being tossed about to the point that we were told it was almost breaking up. And he's fast asleep. Now, I can sleep through a lot of storms, but I don't think I could sleep through that one. So in verse 6, the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. It's interesting to note that the captain, who evidently had a different God, came to the one who believed in the one true God, even if he was being disobedient, and asked him to pray to his God. You and I are surrounded by people who don't give God a second thought. Certainly pay no mind to his church until there's a need. And it may be aggravating to us that people only come to us when they want something, but we need to be prepared to help. We need to pray even for those who may not have cast a passing glance to God before. And people are turning their eyes toward God in this time. The captain of the ship asked Jonah to get up and pray. Well, church, my question for you is, for all of us, are we sleeping in the bottom of the boat while the world is crashing in around us? This nation, this world, is calling upon us, believers, to cry out to our God, to pray in the midst of this great tempest. The world is saying, arise, sleeper, do something. I've heard people say that this world is so evil, so lost, so far gone, there's no hope for redemption. I don't know about that, and I don't know about you, but I know that I too was too evil, too lost, too far gone for the world to think I was worthy of redemption. But I was not beyond redemption. In his love and by his grace, he saved me. No one on the ship realized what was going on, so once again they reverted to what they'd always done. And in verses 7 and 8, it says they cast lots to determine who was responsible. That's the way they did things back then. Well, I want you to know that it was not through chance. It wasn't through a lottery. It was through the intervention of God that the lot fell on Jonah. And then they ask him about himself. And he responded with this in verse 10. I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And I want you to notice the two things that he pointed out that God made, the sea which he's in right now, and the dry land which will come up later. Jonah acknowledged that he feared God, that he had reverence for God. He acknowledged that it was God who made all things. He clearly knew all that, and yet he still ran away from God. Well, I think that you and I surely recognize that God is worthy of our reverence. We know that he made everything that is good, and yet sometimes don't we still run from God? The Bible's got several different passages about people who ran. The prodigal son who ran from his father. Peter who denied and ran away from Jesus. Elijah back from the Old Testament who, just after the incredible miracle of the altar being consumed by fire from heaven, he ran from Jezebel. Saw God's miracle, but then didn't trust him to get him through this. But one of the things I think about with those three, the prodigal son, Peter, and Elijah, is that all of them came back. You're welcome to come back, even after you run away. Sometimes it takes a bigger catastrophe to get you to come back, but you're welcome to come back. The sailors wondered how to stop this storm, and Jonah shows a burst of courage here. Verse 12, he says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Jonah feared going to Nineveh, but now he shows that he's not afraid to die. Being thrown into the raging sea, that would have meant certain death. And the sailors weren't willing to do it at first, even though they were afraid of their own death. They weren't going to throw him in. And they continued to try to row and get to the shore safely. And then something amazing happened in verse 14. "Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.'" In the midst of this storm, the sailors have come to know the power of God. Now, praying to God doesn't make you a believer necessarily, but they prayed to God, a God that they probably had never even heard of before. And now, what happens next? Well, if this doesn't make them believers, nothing will. Verses 15 and 16. "So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows." See, they'd already done everything that they knew how to do, what they'd always done before, and they tried to avoid tossing Jonah overboard. They had absolutely no way of knowing what God had planned for Jonah, and my guess is the last they ever knew of Jonah is when they saw him disappear into the water. They didn't know he got swallowed by a fish. They didn't know he got vomited back out into dry land. They didn't know that he went to Nineveh and preached the greatest revival in history, you know. They didn't know any of that stuff. All they knew is the sea calmed from its raging. The power of God was demonstrated in the midst of a great storm. And I want you to cling to that as we go through this storm that we're going through. The book of Jonah is one that is often used by non-believers to illustrate their non-belief. And they'll say things like, "It is impossible for a man to survive 3 days in the belly of a fish." And you know what? It is impossible. However, Luke 1:37 tells us this: "With God, all things are possible." It's impossible in nature. It's impossible through man's intervention, but it's not impossible with God. So if we believe that God is God, if we believe that he created all things from nothing, if we believe that he can heal the sick and raise the dead, if we believe in him, we have to believe that he has control over storms, he has control over fish bellies, he has control over wicked cities, and he has control over viruses. We know the rest of the story. Chapter 2 of Jonah is devoted to Jonah's repentant prayer from the belly of the fish, and the last verse tells us that the fish vomited him out onto dry land. It may seem that the moral of this whole passage is this: if God tells you to go to Nineveh already. But even when we're disobedient, God can use our disobedience for mighty things. I'm not encouraging you to be disobedient. But if Jonah had just gone to Nineveh like he was told, the sailors would have never had the opportunity to see the power of God and to recognize that it was indeed the power of God. Now you might be thinking, "Well, God's never asked me to go to Nineveh," and maybe he hasn't. But I want to ask you this: has he asked you to go across the street to see your neighbor? And I know that right now is not a good time to think about that, but I can tell you without any doubt in my mind that a phone call right now means the world to some of these people. Has he ever asked you to give to someone in need? Has he ever asked you to show kindness to a stranger? None of us are Jonah, but each of us have been called to some task that God wants only you to do. He's chosen you for that. So go to Nineveh already, whatever it is, wherever it happens to be. And maybe you're one who is like the sailors, have never been exposed to the power of God. I pray that you see his power and his mighty works, and that you come to know him as a result of what he's doing in this world today. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for this passage, which all of us have heard many, many times before, Lord, but it just seemed to be so appropriate right now in the midst of this storm that's threatening to break up the ship that we're on. And I just pray, God, that you would demonstrate control, but I also pray, God, that you would help us to demonstrate obedience, and that through our obedience to you, Lord, we can get through this storm. I pray, Lord, for people who don't know you, that they might see this as an opportunity to come closer to you, to come to know you as Lord and Savior. And I just pray, God, that you would truly make your presence known to each of us in this place, this day. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and I pray this in your name. Amen.